Greetings once again, my white brothers and sisters. Welcome to another episode of In Clawson We Trust, the White Power Hour with Reverend Matt Hale. I'm very pleased to be with you once again as we commence the ninth week of programming for this show. And I wish to, at this time, extend my congratulations to those who have put this show together behind the scenes, those involved in the technical aspects of the show, Brother Alex, Brother Electric, Brother John, and perhaps others who have worked on this show to make it the success that it has become. It can, of course, always become more of a success. We need to have thousands and one day millions of people listening to this show. It can be done. It must be done. It will be done if each and every one of you and I do our part to spread the word of this program. One thing I would like to recommend at this very moment is those of you who have the capability to have what is called an email signature. That is a row of lines at the bottom of your emails in which you can basically have a message attached to each email, such as Support the World, Church the Creator. I would urge you to do so. But you might notice that in the emails that I send out, we have the word Support the Holy Mission of the World, Church the Creator, White Liberation and White Self-Determination, and the websites. I have just added myself a mention, of course, of this show. And I provide a link to the show, so that way anybody who gets an email from me personally will see the message of creativity listed. We'll see our websites listed, we'll see our radio show listed, and they can easily click on those links and take them to the website, the various websites, including the radio show website. So I would encourage each and every one of you to help make this show more popular and hence more listened to by adding an email signature to your emails, and this will do very nicely. This has been an excellent week for us, comrades, an excellent week in many respects. One respect is something that made a lot of news, at least some news, I should say. It really depends on what part of the country you were in as to the amount of news it made. But the fact that the head of the Jewish Defense League, Irv Rubin, or as I like to call him, Joe the Camel, Irv Rubin, was arrested for plotting to blow up a mosque, as well as blow up a congressman's office. Here we have a situation, of course, where a supposed, well, I shouldn't say supposed, but oftentimes the Jews are portrayed as being victims, and boy, the Jews are just so persecuted, and people hate the Jews for no reason at all, and gosh, isn't that so terrible, terrible. Well, the fact of the matter is that the Jewish Defense League is a terrorist group, and hence why the head of the Jewish Defense League was arrested for this domestic terrorism. And as a matter of fact, earlier today I sparred with a member of the Jewish Defense League. His real name is Chuck Fogel. He called himself something else on the program, and he's called several times when I've been on the radio and involved in various interviews. He calls up with a fake name each time, basically. But in any case, he called up and tried to spar with me on the air, and it was very easy to demolish his whole argument when I pointed out, of course, that his very leader of his organization, the Jewish Defense League, has just been charged and was charged on Friday, or actually maybe it was Wednesday. Actually, I see it was Wednesday according to my notes. He was charged with plotting to blow up an Arab mosque and essentially, or at least allegedly, potentially anyway, kill a congressman. I don't know. I heard some talk that the plot was going to exist in the sense that the congressman's office was going to be attacked at night so no one would be in there and things of this nature. But in any case, if you're blowing up a building, you are potentially going to kill someone. I think that is not a leap of logic. So this Jewish Defense League member, this Chuck Fogel, called up and tried to smear us and slander us as the Jewish Defense League is wont to do, but he couldn't avoid or evade the fact that Irv the Camel Rubin was arrested himself for plotting domestic terrorism. Which raises, of course, the point that there's a lot of talk right now going on about clamping down on terrorism around the world, and we hear a lot of countries being mentioned. We hear of Syria being mentioned. Iraq certainly is being mentioned a lot. The Philippines is being mentioned. Yemen is being mentioned. Somalia is being mentioned. But missing from the list of terrorist nations is the State of Israel, which obviously is a deliberate omission, considering the fact that this government itself is a vassal government of that parasitical terrorist state. There is no more sure sign, or no clearer of a sure sign of Jewish domination of this government and the media and the economy than the fact that Israel can wantonly bomb civilians and kill people left and right, kill Palestinians, and yet Israel somehow is not considered a terrorist nation. The Israelis can go ahead and bulldoze over homes, they can shoot kids in the streets, they can send missiles to attack police headquarters, etc., and that is not terrorism. That is considered an act of war. But if someone tries to kill Israeli soldiers by strapping bombs to his body and blowing himself up, that somehow is terrorism. Well, of course, this brings up the fact of the matter that terrorism is largely in the mind of the beholder. Certainly one could argue that the Israelis are terrorists in what they are doing. One could argue that the Bolsheviks were terrorists. One could argue, even if one really wanted to stretch it, one could argue that the revolutionaries of the American Revolution were terrorists. There's no question about that. But if you want to put it into modern parlance, if you want to talk about what is commonly referred to as terrorism, there's no question but that the actions of the Israelis are terrorists, as well as the actions of their agents here in America, the Jewish Defense League. And since there is this talk, this course of investigating terrorists, I would urge, let me urge at this point, that the federal government, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the Justice Department, investigate the Jewish Defense League for the numerous terrorist acts that they have committed in this country. One of the acts that they have committed, certainly that has hit close to home, is the fact that they have enticed, and even stronger than that, violently threatened a person to testify or to be deposed in one of the current frivolous, ridiculous lawsuits pending against the World Church of the Creator and yours truly. They actually took this individual and threatened to kill him. And so, lo and behold, he signs a dotted line, as it were, and makes these false claims. Well, that itself is a form of terrorism, I would think, threatening to kill someone or perhaps kill their family if they don't testify falsely in a court of law. That is certainly borderline terrorism. And it was an organized effort. And I can't talk much more about that on this particular show, but very, very soon, my comrades, we will have a resolution of this case. And when we have that resolution, a lot of individuals will be exposed for various criminal acts. Certainly named individuals of the Jewish Defense League. Chuck Fogel is just one of them. Chuck Fogel is an individual who threatened this individual to testify against us. But we have more goodies coming, and boy, I wish I could tell you right now, but you just keep staying tuned to In Klassen We Trust, and it will certainly be on this program, all the details of the shenanigans of the Jewish Defense League in cahoots with other individuals who I can't name at this time because we have not yet resolved this case, but it will be very shortly. Nice try, I guess I could say. Nice try to the member of the Jewish Defense League who called in earlier, this Chuck Fogel, spouting off his various nonsense about us being an illegal organization or a terrorist organization. I don't know if he used that word, but he called us a violent organization. Well, obviously, we want to remove the Jews from this society. We want to deport the Jewish menace from America. We have every option, every right to seek to do so. We have every right to push for legal and peaceful change in this society, regardless of whether the Jews like it or not. And I know there are a lot of Jew lovers out there. There are a lot of Judeophiles out there who basically will apologize for every single act that the Jews do wrong in this world. And one of the individuals, in fact, that I debated, so to speak, on the air earlier today was this Reverend so-called Shanks or something like that, who was basically defending Israel, calling Israel a democracy. But we couldn't care less whether Israel is a democracy. That is no test of whether a government is decent or is not engaging in terrorism. I would cite, for example, the fact that on paper the Soviet Union was a democracy. The People's Republic of China is technically a democracy. That doesn't really mean anything. You can call yourself a democracy, but that doesn't mean anything. And even if you are a democracy, that doesn't really necessarily mean anything, because we racial loyalists, we creators, realize that democracy is an inherently flawed system. Democracy, as our Reverend Matt Hayhoe put it basically, is rule by the most conniving. That is what democracy is, rule by the most conniving. If you are a good liar, you can become a president. If you are a good liar, you can go ahead and bamboozle the public, get yourself elected, and proceed to turn this country into mush and to deprive us of our livelihood, our interests in this world. Well, let's just look at the facts, of course. Let's look at the fact that we had a person by the name of Bill Clinton become president of the United States. And if that isn't a good testament to democracy's flaw, I don't know what is. Then you have this current bungler, this bumbler, who can talk basically like a robot, but is very seems to be incapable of much original thought at all, George W. Bush. And you can certainly say once again that democracy has failed. Democracy is premised on the idea that if you have a majority of votes, you are right. No, that is not how history works. Majorities are oftentimes wrong. As a great man in Germany put it, history is made by minorities. The best of society is always the least numerous. And therefore, we should not have a system based on a popularity contest. We should instead have it based on merit. Those who are the most qualified to rule should rule, not those who simply can talk a good talk and then get elected and proceed to fail in everything that they had set out supposedly to accomplish. Well, certainly for George W. Bush, this has proved to be a great time. George W. Bush doesn't have to think much about the economy. He doesn't have to think much about various social domestic problems. He can just keep talking about the evildoers in the Middle East or the evildoers in Afghanistan and continue to get an 85% approval rating. Of course, when it comes to these polls, you have to be very careful about these polls, because these polls are easily manageable, or I guess you could say very easily manipulated. Individuals will ask questions that are tailored to get a certain response. For example, if someone were to be asked the question, do you believe that it would be good to force the niggers back to Africa? You might not get a large approval rating. Well, but if you were to ask the question, do you think the blacks are entitled to a land of their own in Africa, and do you think that repatriation would be a solution to the racial problems facing America, a lot more people would probably say, well, yeah, of course it would be a solution. If the races are not intermingled, there is no strife between the races. It's just simple common sense. It's when you have a pie that is being fought over by several different races, several ethnic groups, or numerous ethnic groups, you have the problem. You have a lot of problems that would not exist otherwise. So, when it comes to these polls, be careful about that. But in any case, even if 85% of the people really do approve of George W. Bush, that doesn't mean that he is worthy of being the leader of this country. He is not worthy of being leader of this country. Certainly, he is not worthy to be leader or a leader for white people. And that, of course, is the most important thing to realize. We white racial loyalists realize that country is nice. Country is our soil, of course, and there isn't any creators who don't believe in the idea of blood, soil, and honor. We believe in this. We practice it. We strive for it. But at the same time, We know that the white race is more important than America. If it comes right down to it, of course, the white race is more important than America, because without the white race surviving, nothing matters, including America, including any country. If the white race fails to heed nature's laws and mongrelizes itself out of existence, nothing else matters. Nothing will matter. But, on the other hand, if America ceases to exist and the white race survives, white people can create another country. They can create another America, hopefully a better America. Now, in this situation going on right now today, in the 3 months or so, or 2 months, no, 3 months since the terrorist attacks, I want each and every one of you to be ready to defend our cause by going on the attack. I want you to defend our cause by saying, well, if somebody says to you that our cause is un-American or anti-American, respond as follows. If we had been in charge of this country, September 11th would not have happened for very simple reasons. One, we wouldn't be aiding the support or aiding Israel, and we wouldn't be having an open border that allowed these terrorists to come in and attack us and kill thousands of civilians. We wouldn't have that. Further, this country was founded as a white country. Every signer of the Declaration of Independence was white. Every person who voted on the Constitution was white. All of the Founding Fathers were white. And furthermore, most, if not all, of the Founding Fathers owned nigger slaves. Blacks at that time were considered to be property, to be bought and sold as you would buy and sell a cow. It was property. They were not considered to be equal. They were not considered to be even human beings, essentially. And so, when some character out there, and many of them are well-meaning people, though misguided, if they come to you and say, well, what about the Constitution, or what about, most significantly, they would say, the passage that says, all men are created equal in the Declaration of Independence. Well, the answer is that they were talking about white men. They were talking about white people. Because otherwise, if they were talking about all, then how could they possibly sign that document and then go home to their plantation and see niggers in chains? Obviously, they were not considering the blacks, the niggers, whatever you want to call them, to be men within the context of that statement in the Declaration of Independence. It is okay at this time, it is okay at any time to talk about America in the context of the white race. Let us not, in other words, let our enemies make us into being unpatriotic. We are patriotic. We love our country. We love our race. The two go hand in hand, certainly if you are an American. Once again, this country was founded as a white country, and it was founded by white races. They had some flaws. One of their flaws was that they chose to bring niggers here. They thought it was okay to enslave them. We realize that slavery of the niggers is a catastrophe waiting to happen. If you enslave the blacks, you will more likely mix with the blacks, and sooner or later someone will set them free and cause all kinds of havoc. It would have been better, much better, for this country to leave the blacks in Africa and simply build it up on our own. We never needed the niggers then. We don't need the niggers today. We don't need their crime today. We don't need their so-called entertainment today. We don't need their filthy music today, if you can call it music. We don't need their attitude. We don't need their stench. We don't need their graffiti. We don't need their garbage in the streets. We don't need anything that the niggers have to offer this society. It's as simple as that. Now, what else has been going on in the news this past week? Certainly, of course, we have the situation going on with Osama bin Laden. Right now, he is on the run. Maybe he won't even be on the run by the time this episode is heard by all of you. Maybe he will be captured. Maybe he's already dead, actually. Maybe that's one of the reasons why that tape was magically produced after we had lost track, well, after the government had supposedly lost track of his whereabouts. Maybe the man's dead, and maybe that's why this tape is being touted as evidence of his guilt. Now, I am leaning against that tape being evidence of anything. I have seen some inconsistencies. The man doesn't look quite like Osama bin Laden on that tape. I've seen a website on the internet, which of course I know much is on the internet, and you'll find a lot of weird things on the internet, but you have to sift through those things and come to the conclusion that is right. But in any case, I've seen pictures on the internet of the individual, a still shot of the person, supposedly Osama bin Laden, in that tape that the government has produced. And I've seen the real Osama bin Laden, and the two men don't look anything like each other. The real Osama bin Laden has a very long face, for example. The one on that video has a very, well, not a very short face, but a short face, and a more full face, a fatter face, I guess you could say, and is darker in complexion than the real Osama bin Laden. Furthermore, in the tape, he's wearing military fatigues. And I've never seen Osama bin Laden wear fatigues. He's always wearing some kind of a Middle Eastern garb. And so it does raise the question. It raises the question that perhaps this is a fabrication. But in any case, if Osama bin Laden is really on the loose and he's really running around, if he is not found by the United States government, this will be tremendously embarrassing to George W. Bush. And that's good in that sense. We cannot give legitimacy to an illegitimate government. It's very important that we walk a fine line, that we are in favor of stopping terrorism. The World Church of the Creator, in fact, is an anti-terrorist organization. Because if the World Church of the Creator has its way, there will be no more terrorism in America, in Europe, or elsewhere in which white people live. Because we will throw out these mud races that are responsible for the terrorism and the Jews that helped foment it through basically using America as a vassal state for their interests. Essentially, Israel is like a mosquito and we are the host. The mosquito keeps sucking our blood, and yet we're supposed to, unlike a mosquito and a host, we're supposed to simply smile about it and allow them to keep sucking. But we say it's time to swat the mosquito. It's time to relentlessly, verbally, of course verbally, attack the Jews. The Jews must be denounced in all things and at all times. We cannot spare any effort along those lines because, in fact, right now, perhaps at no time within the past 30 years or so, has it been so appropriate to attack the Jews, to attack Israel, to attack this government's cozy relationship with that bandit state. A lot of people, as I've talked about many times, I believe, on this program, a lot of people are scratching their heads about September 11th and they want answers, and it's up to you and I to provide them with those answers. We have a very unique opportunity right now to convince our people, to galvanize our people for our cause. And it's very important for people to realize that the World Church of the Creator is very broad in many ways. Yes, we are a religious organization. Yes, we espouse the religion of creativity. But that does not mean that we are not interested in political events. We are very interested in politics. Of course, with us, however, we view politics as simply being a part of religion. We believe that politics should serve the interests of our creator religion, our creativity religion. And so, yes, we take note of what is going on very thoroughly. And one day, of course, the day must come in which we are fielding candidates for public office. This is something that we have not done thus far, but it is inevitable that we will do so. It is very important to have creators run for public office. Now, one might ask the question, is that being hypocritical? Because we have denounced the political system, does that make us hypocrites for wanting to embark upon a political campaign. No, it does not, and I will explain why. It reminds me of what, once again, and the analogies are oftentimes there, what the National Socialists did in Germany. As Joseph Goebbels put it, we are wolves among the sheep, something like that, or we come as wolves among the sheep. He was not talking about, of course, the National Socialists were not talking about simply joining the system and being sheep or being villains. The National Socialists entered the German Reichstag to clean it out. And that's okay for us, too. It's okay for us to run for public office with the intent of driving the rascals from power. And also, another nice thing about political campaigns is that they attract a lot of interest. And when the day comes in which perhaps yours truly runs for an office of some kind, we will receive so much news that it will practically knock the earth off of its axis. And that's great, because controversy is good. Controversy makes people think. And that's what, of course, we need to do. As our founder, Ben Clausen, said, straighten out the white man's thinking and all else follows. If we can straighten out the thinking of white people, we can and we will turn the situation around. Now, elsewise in the news this past week, a few days ago, the York Library, or the Martin Library as it's called, in York, Pennsylvania, has decided to close its doors on January 12th. So that the patrons it has will not be disturbed by our meeting there. Well, this is okay in a sense. We expect a very good turnout on that date, January 12th in York, Pennsylvania. We predict that we will have a full house, and we are not surprised that the library would want to close the building, or at least close the regular library portion of the building, to make sure that there are not any problems for the patrons. We are expecting anti-racists to be at this meeting. They will probably come wearing their little masks and spouting off their obscenities, as they usually do. But that's okay. That's okay, because our people are prepared. I want all of you to be prepared. You will be attending this Pennsylvania meeting. Be prepared to put up your dukes and fight if you have to, to defend our great cause, to defend yourself, to defend the flag. We creators are not pacifists. We are not individuals who will simply turn the other cheek if struck upon our cheek. We will strike back if we have to, and we will, of course, make our foes regret very dearly their decision to use violence against us. See, it's always very interesting. Sometimes it has come up. The various legal proceedings that the church is involved in right now, our foes want to say, well, gee whiz, you just said that you would use violence against anti-racists. Well, in self-defense, absolutely. In self-defense, violence is legal. And that is the yardstick for the World Church of the Creator. The yardstick is legality versus illegality. If it is legal, for example, to deport the non-whites, then obviously we can do so. It's always amazing how many individuals out there are just utterly confused, and perhaps intentionally confused. When I am asked by Jim Engstrom, the host of the program I was on earlier today, the radio show I was on, I'm asked, well, are you going to kill the non-whites? Is that how you're going to get them out? That has nothing to do with our program. Our program is one of legal repatriation. Let us build a mighty mass religious movement, and then go from there. Start to elect candidates left and right. Take over the Congress. Take over the Senate. Repeal the silly 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, certainly at least in regards to race, and put these non-whites on a boat, whether they like it or not. Now, it's always interesting. One thing I find interesting is when Jews complain about our program, because the Jews have countless times in history, according to their history anyway, driven people out of their land. All you have to do is read the Old Testament, and you'll find the Israeli armies, the Israelites, over and over again, attacking and killing non-Jews and driving them off their land or enslaving them. It's all over in the Old Testament. Read Deuteronomy, for example. Read Leviticus, for example. Read Deuteronomy 7 and Deuteronomy 20. Those are the most clear passages. Deuteronomy 6 as well. You will find the Jews talking about driving people out of their land. And they did it by force, according to their own testament. And yet Jews want to say about us, they want to say, oh gosh, it's so terrible, you want to deport the non-whites from America, while their own book espoused such an action, but through force and violence, which is not our program. And also right now, today, if you want to look at Israel and Palestine, certainly 1948, when Israel became a state, became a nation, independent, they forced out 750,000 Palestinians from their land. They were just simply herded like cattle out of their homes, many of their possessions lost, and just driven right off the land. And these Jews have the audacity to say that we are somehow wrong for wanting to deport legally and peacefully, with the non-whites being able to take whatever property they want, basically, back to their native habitats. What hypocrisy. The Jews, of course, are the ultimate hypocrites. Possessions lost and just driven right off the land. And these Jews have the audacity to say that we are somehow wrong for wanting to deport legally and peacefully, with the non-whites being able to take whatever property they want, basically, back to their native habitats. What hypocrisy. The Jews, of course, are the ultimate hypocrites. They say, for example, they believe in all men being equal, but at the same time, they believe that they are the chosen people above all the people of the earth. That's what's written in Deuteronomy 7. They say that they are against slavery, and yet they have enslaved people throughout the centuries, and their Old Testament espouses slavery. The Jews say that they love everyone, and yet read the Old Testament and look at what they do today and see how much love they supposedly have in their hearts. Of course, there are many differences between we, white people, and the Jews. Foremost difference being that we are not parasites like the Jews are. The Jews live off the labor and the productivity of other races. They have done so throughout their history. But white people don't need the other races. We never have needed the other races. And of course, we white racial loyalists are very open and honest about what we believe in. We don't pull any punches. We don't try to emasculate our doctrine. But the Jews obviously do. Now, one thing that's come up since the arrest of Irv Rubin is the fact that some Jews are denouncing Irv Rubin now. They're saying that, gosh, he's a terrorist. Yeah, it's great that he was arrested. People like him give Jews a bad name. Things of this nature. Well, beware of that, my brothers and sisters. Do not assume that this is a sincere denouncement by fellow Jews. What it really is the Jews trying to cover their tracks. The Jews trying to make sure that the acts of Irv Rubin and his friends do not taint themselves. Because it's not a very hard stretch. It's not hard to say, well, the Jewish Defense League is a terrorist organization. Maybe the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, or the Anti-Decency League, as I like to call it, maybe that's a terrorist group. And maybe, just maybe, other Jewish organizations are involved in activities which, if not terrorist, are certainly harmful to the best interests of this country. As a matter of fact, yes, the ADL has been involved in terrorist activities themselves. But their connection is less direct than the Jewish Defense League. And the Jewish Defense League, heck, they call, Meir Kahani, a hero, and they praise Baruch Goldstein, who killed, I believe, 30 Arabs at a mosque some years ago. They praise killers. They praise various individuals who have engaged in crime. So that's one difference between the Jewish Defense League and the Anti-Decency League. And so they are trying to cover their tracks. They're trying to present themselves as being lovers of America. And boy, how nice it was that the Jewish Defense League leader was put in jail, because we Jews, we good Jews, are not like that. Beware. But this does bring up an interesting point, that the Jews will denounce their fellow Jews if it serves the interests of the Jews. The Jews are not idealists, as Adolf Hitler said. The Jew is a herd animal. He will band together with his fellow Jews as long as there is a threat to his fellow Jews, or I should say, as long as there is a threat to himself. If there is a threat to himself, he will band together with other Jews to ward off that threat. But the minute the threat passes, the Jews are fighting each other and stabbing each other in the back and choking one another. That's why, for example, if Israel did not have Palestinians to do the work for him, the Jews would self-destruct in Israel. Because a parasite needs a host. And so, hence, they latch themselves on to others. And that's why, for example, that even though they got the state that they wanted and they begged for decades, namely the state of Israel, that many Jews have not gone to Israel. Even though part of the implicit notion of the formation of the state of Israel was that Jews would have a homeland for the Jews alone, many Jews have not taken up Israel as their residence. Instead, they live in this country, they live in Canada, they live in France, they live in Germany, they live in England, especially in England. There's probably more Jews in America and England than certainly in Palestine by far, and anywhere else in the world. There are some Jews, of course, in Germany and Poland. But in any case, the Jews want to use our country, America. They want to use every white country as a mosquito would use a host. Now, if every Jew in the world were to go to Israel, I suppose we would be happy with that. We would be happy with that. Of course, the Palestinians and the Arabs would have to deal with that mess, but that would be nice. However, never will all Jews want to go to one place, because they would be forfeiting their own parasitical nature. Therefore, in that sense, we cannot say that a Jew merely changing his religion makes him non-Jewish, in that sense. An individual can change their religion. A Jew can masquerade as a Christian or call himself any other religion, but he still retains that biological, parasitical nature. So, in a sense, it was not the Jewish religion that made the Jews what they are. It's the Jewish racial type that made the parasitical religion. These are facts. These are not facts that you will see on television or read in your mainstream book section, but these are facts that can be ascertained through reading a number of books. Certainly Mein Kampf is one of them. Certainly Nature's Eternal Religion, of course, our holy book, our first book, The White Man's Bible. Other books I can think of, White Power by George Lincoln Rockwell. Which Way Western Man by William Gailey Simpson. Read The Jews and Their Lies by Martin Luther, the founder of the Protestant religion. There are ample means to educate yourself on this subject. My brothers and sisters, right now, creators, the World Church of the Creator, as a matter of fact, is stronger than it has ever been in its 28-year history. I'm very happy to report that. We have more people interested, more people believing, more people sending appreciative emails and phone calls and letters than at any time in our history. This can only and will only grow. It must be our resolution that it does grow. I myself have been producing public access television shows and producing this show and putting together this show, our hotline message, public meetings, street demonstrations, etc. I urge all of you to do your part, to do your absolute best to win the hearts and minds of the people. It is not so hard. It is not so hard to walk up to somebody in a grocery store or be in a checkout line in a grocery store and say, hey, what do you think about what happened September 11th? Everybody's going to say, oh, gosh, it was terrible. And then you can very easily say, well, gosh, I wish we wouldn't let these damn towelheads into the country. Or I wish we wouldn't let the problems of the Middle East intrude into America. Or I wish we weren't bankrolling Israel to the tune of billions upon billions of dollars. And by the way, recently there is an Associated Press article that we sent out to our email list saying that we are currently giving $20 billion a year to Israel. $20 billion, that's twice as much than our records had indicated. $20 billion, you know what that breaks down to? About $16,000 per man, woman, and child Israeli. Is that fair? Is that just? Is that not a symptom of Jewish control of this country? That we would waste $16,000 per Israeli citizen while people in this country go hungry? While people in this country can't send their kids to a proper school or a good school or a decent school? While they can't clothe their kids adequately? Is that justice? I submit not. And you can tell the people about these injustices. You can tell the people that this is going on. The problem is that right now, white people have far too much trust. We have to break that trust. Trust in a foreign or phony government that we have in place right now. In times of good, and I think I've mentioned this before, in times of good, trust is a good thing. People can trust us because we're telling the truth. Because the proof of the pudding is in the eating. We offer the evidence for what we say. But when it comes to this government, when it comes to the situation in which countless dollars that properly belong in our pockets is being siphoned away from us to support, to bankroll the state of Israel, and when it comes to the fact that these Islamic extremists hate us because of our support for Israel, and therefore attack us, send planes to attack us, blow us up, etc., that's a problem that needs to be addressed. Well, my brothers and sisters, I have to say I'm a little tired today. I've had a long day. I've been doing a lot of talking, a lot of interviews. I did a couple of public access shows earlier today on television, did the radio show in which I was a guest. So I'm going to cut this a little short for this evening. I encourage you to listen again next week to another episode of In Clausen We Trust. Our address is P.O. Box 2002. East Peoria, Illinois, 61611. We hope that you will contact us today. Our hotline number, by the way, is 309-699-0135. Do your part, do your duty, and together we will win this racial holy war. Rahoa!